The Spectator is searching for the UK's brightest entrepreneurs to enter the Spectator Economic Innovator of the Year Awards in partnership with Charles Stanley Wealth Managers. If you have a business that disrupts an existing market, a smart new way of doing things, or something that has incredible social impact, then apply by 1st of July at spectator.co.uk/innovator.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. There is only one story in town at the moment, and that is the resignation of Matt Hancock after he was caught in flagrante with his advisor Gina Colodangelo in his office at the Department of Health. Hancock had originally tried to cling on to his post, but eventually his position became untenable. The Northern Ireland Secretary Brandon Lewis was fielding the government's interviews this morning, and Trevor Phillips posed him a very sobering question.
Mr. Lewis, I wouldn't normally do something like this, but I want to put a private, personal question, I guess, in a way to you. Over the past 2 days, every cabinet minister, including you, has come out to essentially defend the Prime Minister and Matt Hancock. The pictures that we saw were of an encounter on May the 6th. On May the 11th, my family buried my daughter, who had died not of COVID, but during the lockdown. 300 of our family and friends turned up online, but most of them were not allowed to be at the graveside, even though it was in the open air, because of the rule of 30, because of the instruction by Mr. Hancock. Now, the next time one of you tells me what to do in my private life, explain to me why I shouldn't just tell you where to get off.
Look, I absolutely accept and understand the frustration and even the anger that people have having been through the situations they've been through. Look, as you say, Trevor, people across the country, I've lost friends whose funerals I've not been able to go to over the last period. That is such a tragic situation for any of us to be in. And that's, I have to say, why it's so important all of us do what we can to keep ourselves, our families, our friends, our wider community safe. It's also why that what Matt did was wrong. He acknowledged that. It's why he apologised immediately for his behaviour and acknowledged what he did was wrong. And it's ultimately why he's taken the decision that his position was untenable and distracting from the wider work that we've all got to do to move forward in the pandemic and out of the pandemic. There's no getting away from that. And I think that's why Matt ultimately made the decision he did. As I say, I think in doing that, he has put his family and indeed all of us across the UK first, because he wants the focus, as the PM does, as we all do, to be on getting out of this pandemic in the best possible way and as quickly as we can.
Phillips also inquired about the implications of how the CCTV footage of Hancock had found its way into public view.
We don't know exactly how anybody came to be in possession of these pictures, but presumably the government will be undertaking an urgent security review, because how is it possible that what goes on in a minister's office or behind a closed door for a minister can be made public in this way? I mean, for Matt Hancock, it was embarrassing. I think in your case, it could be lethal.
Well, look, Trevor, you're quite right. And I've seen some of the reports this morning outlining how different journalists think that the tape may have got out there. That is certainly a matter I know the Department of Health will be looking into to understand exactly how that was recorded and how it got out of the system. It's something we need to get to the bottom of. As you say, quite rightly, what happens in government departments can be sensitive and important, but people need to have the confidence that what is happening in a government department is something that allows government to be focused on those core issues and the sensitivity sometimes in a security sense of those core issues. So yes, I do know that is something the Department of Health will be taking forward as an internal investigation. We need to see, let them have the space to do that, to understand how this happened and to ensure this kind of situation can't happen again, or across government indeed.
From one security mishap to another, Andrew Marr asked Lewis about a surprising discovery made at a Kent bus stop on Tuesday morning.
Now, you're Northern Ireland now, but you were a security minister beforehand. This morning, the BBC is reporting that a member of the public found highly classified documents behind a bus stop in Kent, and they covered the passage of HMS Defender through Ukrainian waters, and they covered proposals for Britain's military presence in Afghanistan going forward. Very, very sensitive stuff. How serious a breach of security is this?
I think it is a serious breach. And the Ministry of Defence, I've spoken to the Defence Secretary, are taking forward an internal investigation into how this happened. Now, to an extent, processes were followed, that it was reported by the individual as soon as they were aware that they had left those documents, and obviously somebody handed it into the BBC. But there will be a full investigation by the Ministry of Defence into how this happened. And again, we've got to ensure that when things like this happen, whether it's human error or otherwise, that it can't happen again.
Ma also put a question to Lewis about his own departmental responsibility.
OK, one final question about Northern Ireland. As Northern Ireland's secretary, you tweeted this not so long ago: there is no Irish sea border. Can I just ask you straightforwardly to accept that that is not true?
Well, I've said before that I fully appreciate that tweet has not aged well. And the reality is...
Well, it's worse than that. But that's when you broke the trust of a lot of people in Northern Ireland. They looked at that and they said, come on.
And actually, on the 1st of January, we were very clear that we were going to have no sea border. Mm-hmm. What's happened since then is that what we have seen is the implementation of the protocol, the outworkings of it, the purest way the EU want to see it, has meant that we've seen disruption in Northern Ireland. That not only isn't what people foresaw, okay, but goes against the protocol itself. That's why we need flexible solutions.
Question. Is there an Irish sea border?
Well, we've got to make sure that there isn't one. It depends on how you describe it. I personally would say that what we've got to make sure is that we've got good free flow of products, GB to Northern Ireland. But Northern Ireland to GB is working.
Question. Is there or is there not
If you travel to Northern Ireland, as I do regularly, when you go through the airports, you're not going through a border in the sense that anybody expects a border. But I'm not denying the fact there is big disruption in Northern Ireland for businesses and consumers. We need to rectify that, and we will do that.
Do you think it's kind of hands up Sunday morning? Do you think you should say hands up and apologise for that tweet to people in Northern Ireland?
Well, I've already said, that tweet has not aged well. We've got to make sure that we are delivering for people in Northern Ireland. We get the flexibility so that people in Northern Ireland have the same experience as they would anywhere else in the United Kingdom in terms of being able to receive products and goods. Now, that's a two-way thing, okay, and the EU need to show the flexibility that they keep talking about.
The Metropolitan Police have so far said they will not be conducting any action against Matt Hancock because his apparent rule breach was not a live incident. The Shadow Housing Secretary, Lucy Powell, told Phillips that she and the Labour Party begged to differ.
Well, my colleague Fleur Anderson has referred this to the police because we want to know whether the police will be looking at whether Matt Hancock did break the law in his actions. At the time, you'll remember when this video was taken, we were all told that we could only have close contact with those that we were in a bubble with. They were our bubble, and that was the only people we could have close contact with. That was the law at the time. Yet it now turns out that Matt Hancock was actually in two bubbles at the same time, unbeknown to other people in that bubble. And that is how infection spreads. So, yes, there are serious issues here which need further investigation, and we will be looking at those because, of course, you know, Matt Hancock was the first to say that Neil Ferguson and others should have resigned when they broke the rules and that other people needed to abide by them. So you can't have the rule maker also being the rule breaker. People want to know there's accountability in that.
Powell also said she would be looking very carefully at the severance pay that Hancock would be entitled to after his resignation.
Let's not forget, he, as the health secretary, was the guy who recommended that our NHS workers, after the year that they've just had in this pandemic on the front line, who have worked flat out, who are now on their knees, he recommended that they, in effect, had a pay cut. And I think to find out that he's now going to get thousands of pounds as some kind of severance redundancy payment for, frankly, being caught on the job while he was on the job, you know, I think would be pretty disgusting to most people. And we will certainly be calling that out and asking the Prime Minister not to give him that.
Ma interviewed the London Mayor Sadiq Khan and asked him about the performance of the Metropolitan Police's Commissioner Cressida Dick.
Do you think that Cressida Dick is responsible for rising crime in London?
No, those committing the crimes, an act of violence, are responsible for the violent crime. We've got to invest in policing, but also invest in young people as well.
Now, Cressida Dick has faced very, very serious criticism for the Met's handling of the Sarah Everard vigil, which we all remember, and the Met's recently been accused of, quotes, institutional corruption, quotes, over the case of Daniel Morgan. Do you have faith in Cressida Dick, or should she resign?
I've got faith in Cressida Dick. I've got full confidence in Cressida Dick. Both the Home Secretary and I take our responsibilities to scrutinise the police very seriously, and the Commissioner will be providing an explanation into the very serious findings of the Daniel Morgan panel, but also we're making sure that we address the issues that concern Londoners, violence, crime.
And finally, the chairman of the British Medical Association, Dr. Chand Nagpal, had a foreboding message for the new Health Secretary, Sajid Javid, on his first day in the job.
I think what our members are saying is that they are feeling absolutely exhausted after 15 months of this pandemic. Many have worked flat out without breaks. They've worked during the lockdowns, at the stay-at-home periods, busier than ever. About 4 in 10 say their mental health is worse than before the pandemic significantly. You have about 1 in 3 saying they are going to be retiring the next year. About 1 in 5 saying they'll leave the NHS or reduce their hours. And remember, this is on the back of about 8,500 unfilled doctor vacancies, about 80,000 vacancies in the NHS that have been unfilled. Now, this comes at a time when the new health secretary was going to see a baptism of fire. He won't have the luxury of a phased handover. He'll have to make every day count. We're facing, as you've said, a record 5+ million patients on waiting lists. And that includes about 400,000 who've been waiting more than 12 months. And that's that doesn't include about 20 million patients who were not seen in outpatient clinics last year.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes store. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily Evening Blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/eveningblend. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week.